Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Amen. Thank you so very much for setting your clocks ahead. Thank you all for joining us from home. It's great to see you. Can't lie, I was getting a little bit worried when the prelude music was playing and we had less people in here. I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those Sundays. Time change and that sometimes just happens. But thank you for your attention. For the last 18 days, our attention, our hearts have been pulled east. For 18 days, Ukraine has been under siege by the Russian army led by their heartless leader. One of my colleagues, whom most of you are familiar with, said during our pericope study on Tuesday, Psalm 27 is a psalm of President Zelensky. And I heard this psalm in a new way, in a way I hadn't heard it before. Listen to these words again, and keep in mind it was written 3,000 years ago, yet fits our context today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war rises up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in God's temple. For God will hide me in God's shelter in the day of trouble. God will conceal me under the cover of God's tent. God will set me high on a rock. President Zelensky is in the middle of total chaos. Threats from the Russian army on every side. And he stays right where he is. He unites his fellow Ukrainians and leads them with bravery and determination. He has created a stronghold in Kiev and continues to stay in its borders. Yet I wonder if the stronghold in which he remains is one created, or if it comes from his Jewish faith and his interpretation of this psalm in the Jewish Bible. The Lord, Adonai in Hebrew, is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I fear? The Reverend Victoria Larson writes, "What a gorgeous name for God, stronghold, the place where we are safe. This is a compelling declaration of faith, out of which flows a courageous roar of challenge." She continues, but the fact that this challenge arrives in the form of a question is telling. It introduces the possibility of an uncertainty. Indeed, of what shall we be afraid? If we don't take that question seriously, if we ignore the fact that we mere mortals do have fears, then we ignore the greatest threat to God's role as our stronghold. It's precisely the things that we fear to which we ascribe power. And it is precisely the things that hold power over us that can replace God as our stronghold. Again, giving credit to where credit is due, the sermon is influenced by Reverend Larson's sermon notes found in our Lenten resource from Barngeese Worship. How often do we focus on the stronghold that God is in our lives? At times, we tend to focus on the darkness when something frightens us. And then we break down in the midst of that terror. It's imperative that we acknowledge the fear in our lives. These fears show us that God is our stronghold and that we rely on God for life-giving grace. Martin Luther wrote in his paper, The Darkness of Faith, when your conscience is terrified by the law and is wrestling with the judgment of God, do not consult either reason or the law, but rely on grace and the word of comfort. Here, take your stand as though you had never heard the law. Ascend into the darkness where neither the law nor reason shines, but on only the dimness of faith, which assures us that we are saved by Christ alone without any law. Thus, the gospel leads us above and beyond the light of the law and reason into the darkness of faith, where the law and reason have no business. In the darkness, in facing our challenges and our fears, we are supported by the stronghold of God through love and grace. In our scripture today, we are given two examples, facing fear, and we hear God pulling those into God's shelter and stronghold. First, we heard of Abram and Sarai. Abram is told by God, "Do not be afraid, I am your shield." But Abram is fearful. For everything to work out, Abram knows. For him to become a great nation, he must have an heir. Well, you know the story. Abram and Sarai are mature in years, and the only heir he has is fathered with another woman. But God tells him to look up to the dark night sky, illuminated only by the millions of stars, and says, "Count the stars if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be," says the Creator. And Abram believes. God tells Abram, God will give him this land to possess. Abram is fearful because he doesn't see what God sees. Therefore, he asks, "How will I know this will happen?" God tells him to make a specific covenantal sacrifice, cutting the sacrifices in two and laying the halves against each other. Then, as the sun goes down, and this is important, a deep sleep falls upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness descends upon him. In the darkness, a smoking pot and a flaming torch pass between these pieces. God makes a covenant with Abram in this way, showing up in the darkness, and promises that the descendants of Abraham and Sarai will receive the land. They are then pulled back into the stronghold of God. Abram reclaims God as his stronghold. Abram trusts in God, that God will be true to God's promise and righteousness. God will protect him. The Lord is the stronghold of his life. In the gospel today, we hear Jesus address the city, the people of Jerusalem. He addresses their fear, for the people of Jerusalem are not trusting in divine guidance, as Reverend Larson states. But first, Jesus addresses the Pharisees as they come to him. He is in danger from Herod. Jesus stands up to Herod through the Pharisees by saying to them, "Tell that fox." Couldn't find a stuffed fox. "He will not intimidate me. I have work to do. I must complete the work God has given me. I will cast out demons and heal the sick for the next 3 days." On the third day, when Jesus finishes his work, he will then head to Jerusalem. We hear these somewhat confusing words finally come from Jesus. "Today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." Jesus is referring to the fear people felt by referring to the fear that people felt of Jerusalem. When God sent prophets to lead them, the Israelites feared the prophets because the prophets proclaimed God's way of thinking. They didn't understand. They thought those in power actually thought that they would lose their power. And those without power feared that a worse tyrant would then gain it. This change of power and division changed the forces of Jerusalem. It forced Jerusalem to dispose of those prophets. And the darkness would eventually force Jerusalem to kill the Son of God as well. You hear the lament in Jesus' voice as he calls out to them. He cares for them, but they will not listen. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing? God calls to us. God gathers us in order to protect us. As a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but sometimes our fear becomes the place we dwell instead. It's difficult to see God's stronghold in the time of trial. It's difficult to see God's warm embrace when the shadow of darkness engulfs us. Jerusalem experienced this in the way Herod ruled his kingdom. Herod's father, Herod the Great, he loved to build these monumental kingdoms. He's the one that renovated the temple in 20 BCE, which was still happening at Jesus' time. Herod built his palace on the northwest corner of Jerusalem, high on the upper portion of the city. And to protect it, he built the citadel, a huge defense system. He also placed next to the Temple Mount a four-tower fortress called Antonia Fortress, overlooking the Temple Mount. From here, Herod could see anything that might resemble an uprising. Think about how that must have felt. As people of Jerusalem went to their temple to pray, they found themselves in the looming shadow of the monarchy consuming them. Reverend Larson writes, Jesus evokes the qualities of these two very different sorts of strongholds in this passage from Luke. One kind is built in response to fear and the interest of control, like Herod's palace. And it feels like the mouth of a fox. And then there is another, like the temple, or like the arms of Jesus that extend over all the world, that feels like the wings of a sheltering hen. The first kind of stronghold will always lead us deeper into fear. The second might just lead us into world-altering courage. President Zelensky is showing world-altering courage. The whole world is pulling together around the Ukrainians. The United States and NATO is also showing world-altering courage by standing with Ukraine. Let's make one thing absolutely clear. If we and or any other nation attack Russia, even if we declare a no-fly zone over Ukraine, we are then being led deeper into that fear. Jesus knew the threat he was facing as the Pharisees warned him about the plot to kill him from Herod. He could have at that time protected himself, called others, if not millions of angels, to come down and attack Herod and all other threats. But Jesus stayed in the stronghold of God's love and grace. Jesus reveals that the way through fear is compassionate justice. When he was threatened, he continues to cast out demons and cure the sick. In God's stronghold, one must persist in grace and love to make it through the darkness of fear. What is causing darkness and fear for the church today? Fear of decline or change or loss? God is with us, and God calls us to battle that fear in ways of gathering and being the body of Christ for a hurting world. To conquer fear is to proclaim God's love in every way with every opportunity. We cannot ignore the fearful pain and sorrow in the world or in ourselves. But we are called to recognize that God is our stronghold. We are here. And in the darkness, we are called to be the city on the hill that shines the light for all to see. Amen.